The main thing is here that I've worked in a lot of multidisciplinary areas. I have, unfortunately, and not through my choice throughout my career so far, chosen areas that are bringing new things to people. And what it has taught me is that not everything is as easy as it is at university, but it's also taught me that actually bringing new things to areas in business is really important for helping people to become productive and work forward. So I really love it, but it's also quite a challenge. I'm also a Validar product owner. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. I'm not really going to be talking about it, but it is another area where we have to use these kind of rollout strategies, and so I've learned a lot from that as well. Mango, I'm just going to say something about the cat. We have cats on all of our presentations. For those of you who don't know, the company's named after our boss's cat. So that's why the cat's there. We are a consultancy company in the UK. We have a lot of projects that are run with people who have one or maybe two R developers sitting in a company. And for them, it's really difficult to get R going across their user base. Quite often we talk to people and they come back and say, "Oh, you know, I really love R, it's brilliant, it's doing exactly what I want to do. I can see all of the other places in the organisation where I can use it. I can see people who would really benefit from using it, but I don't know how to get this going. I've maybe talked to a couple of people, I've run a couple of intro sessions to try and get other people working with R, but it's not going anywhere. And so really what this talk is about is how to make that difference, make that leap between using it yourself and getting everybody else to use it. So I can't talk a lot about the customers that I'm going to be using examples in here. So these are kind of hypotheticals, but they are kind of quite representative of the different customers that we see. So one example is a retailer. So there they kind of buy goods to retail, they then offer them to their customers. At some point they sell them, and they also keep an ongoing relationship with customers. And so for them, their challenges in analytics are things like working out what to buy next season. So segmenting their customers, working out what will sell best, maybe what will sell best where, what time of year to run a promotion, who to promote stuff to, what products should they put either physically or across the country, how they should market products. And I went to a really great tutorial yesterday morning about marketing, and that's a really big one for a lot of our customers, and also kind of how they keep customers, so how do you keep long-term customer relationships. So that's like one example of people who have maybe thought about doing something somewhere around here but have all of these other challenges that they can see in the business. Another example is companies that are looking at their staff internally. So looking at hiring staff, how long, depending on what position you're in, sometimes it will take some people a lot longer to get on board with the organisation. Again, you could be in a really difficult area in a difficult part of the country, and you might be carving out a new service or something like that. So looking at performance isn't the same for everybody. So looking at your internal data to find out what improvements to expect. When should you push someone? When should you give someone like a stretch target? And when should you say, okay, we should consolidate? What incentives will motivate? We all know that some of us are motivated by money, others of us are not. If you put one incentive in an organisation, you're not going to capture everyone. And how do you identify best practice? How, from your internal data, can you find people who are doing good things? So these are kind of the characteristics of a lot of companies that we work with. So what I'm going to talk about is three barriers and how to try and get rid of those. So the first one here, My manager wants to know the results before we even start. They want to know what they get out before we even start. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that one. My IT takes forever to provision what I need. And that's another big one as well. So it's okay running it on your laptop sometimes, but you need something a bit more enterprise ready. So you've got to go and talk to IT, and that takes forever. Getting anything extra installed is an absolute nightmare. This is another one, interfacing with IT. I think often when we're using R, when we're working in analytics, we're working across the organisation, and we're not in a small kind of siloed area where we can control our IT resources, where we can control what databases we interact with, things like that. Actually, we're looking across the whole organisation, and the requests that we send to IT are quite challenging and quite different. So, my managers want to know what the results will be set. Well, it's not because they hate you or they think that your ideas are wrong. And I've been there and thought, oh, I come up with another idea, and then they battle that down. It's that they need to see a return on their investment. And so the way to kind of smash this barrier is to build a proof of concept. Proof of concepts are wonderful. Build a proof of concept and then generate some ownership from the managers that you're trying to persuade to jointly move forward. So to do that, I think there are a couple of really key things that if you can hand off responsibility, you can hand off ownership to the organisation, so from the analyst to the organisation, I think that's a really big key step to making it work. So the first one, pick a proof of concept that is easy to show value. It shows value for itself. So it's not a cool thing that you can do, or you've just got access to all of this data. There's so much you can do, and there's so much really interesting things in there. Pick something that actually can speak for itself. So you can do the analysis, you can show your graphs, your shiny, whatever you want to show, it just speaks for itself. I think that's really key for managers going. So often we've done that and then managers have just taken it forward. They want to take this forward, which is brilliant to get buy-in. Make it difficult to ignore. So find out what's the thing that either the manager is being trodden upon by someone above them about, or something that's really burning in the organisation at the time. And that they already know. You don't have to persuade them that it's costing money. You don't have to persuade them that it's costing time. They already know that. So pick that one thing, because again, it just proves that value without you having to go out and show that. Don't keep it close. I think this is really key. When we create analytics, we want to kind of keep ownership of them, especially if it's something that's successful and we know that we can see will help other people. It's really easy to try and keep that within the analytics area, but actually engaging with end users and saying, "Well, I've built this. What do you think? You can take that forward." I think is really important. And make it evolvable. So make it somewhere where people, you can give it to them and they go, "Wow, this is great. I'm going to just take this and do it over here." Or I know where I want to do that. If you give something to someone and they immediately tell you where they think you can improve it, you've won already. If they can pick something and go, "Well, actually, I would move that over there," or "Actually, I'd like to see this on here as well," then you've won, because they know how they can use that in their jobs and they can move that forward. So examples. So we had an organisation like this, a single R user. They'd chosen a pertinent issue, so they'd chosen an area of selling that they were finding their people that were working in the organisation were finding difficult to sell certain products, and they chose a shiny POC, so they chose to give a shiny dashboard to these sellers, so that it would help them to promote the products that they were finding difficult to sell. They had already found a manager that wanted to roll this out, and they'd engaged with the end users. The system that they had before was somebody from 1990, so they were brilliant, they were ready to go, and they've done all of this, but when they engaged with IT, they said, yeah, that's fine, but it'll take you 8 weeks to get the server and get that access to you. So once you've done all of these great things, we then start to hit the IT issues. So this is the my IT takes forever to provision what I need. IT departments aren't set up for analysts. They aren't set up for cross-organisation analytics. So they tend to be quite hierarchical, so they want someone to sign it off. They tend to be working with really large and long-term products. And we've got to somehow squeeze in the stack and say, oh, I know, it'll only take like half an hour, but you've got to try and squeeze in here somewhere. And the other aspect of IT is that getting anything installed is a nightmare. So R is not a great language. It's not a great thing for IT departments to deploy. It causes massive headaches because they need to make sure that everybody has the same versions. If they've got a support list, if they've got to find someone in the organisation to support it, they want to make sure everybody has the same versions, packages and dependencies, which is a massive one, installed. They have the same system level dependencies. Anyone ever had a Java issue with R? They can interact with in-file data, so that's connecting to databases as well. That's what we want to do, and these are all like massive headaches for IT teams. But they also want to make sure that users can install the range of packages, and they can also set system level attributes, like environment variables and things like that. And trying to find a way that allows this flexibility while still maintaining control is really difficult for IT teams. But don't worry, a lot of our customers are now finding that moving onto a cloud-hosted environment solves a lot of these issues. So in terms of the kind of softer stuff, the things that we can do to help IT, it's things like planning what packages we need, and then maintaining the development and version on our own machines with a production service that the IT can provide, and implementing some kind of update release cycle. Hosting on the cloud, either doing something yourself, or there are pre-configured versions as well. Azure and AWS all have pre-configured versions. So just a couple of short examples to finish. So one organisation did exactly this. They deployed a shared environment, shared library to control production environment in the cloud. And this was on AWS. Gave access to kind of a sandbox environment that had the ability for users to add their own packages there, and updated the kind of link between them to you on a 6-monthly basis. So you can have all the new stuff, but you can also have a controlled environment. And a couple of other examples. So using a Rackspace environment, something that you can provision yourself and just add the components on that you want. Using AWS, lots of companies now penetration testing AWS, which actually really helps with the security of data, and getting someone else to create an AMI for you. Okay, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, Kate. So, time for some questions.
For your hypothetical customers that are doing penetration testing against RSQ server and Kernel, is that something you guys are doing, or is that just a customer interaction?
So at that point, they got another company to do penetration testing just because they didn't use their environment. But we are currently looking at doing the same thing
with the RSQ. It would be really useful if someone could publish the results of their pen test and allow other companies to kind of that work.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's the thing a lot of companies get, commercial companies in penetration testing, and that's not published in the program. Yeah, it's definitely on our radar.
Any other question? Please.
The company was founded like 18 years ago, so Michael is no longer with us.
Any other question? So let's thank Kate and the other speakers of the session.